This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN on a Friday, yes, February 21st. Here coming to you from the Leaders Credit Union Studios, the J&J Show. I'm joined by my partner, John Martin. He's national now. I probably should introduce him first as national before I even do, as my local partner here on the show. A field of 68, man. I cannot wait to see him down to the Final Four, representing us nationally.
Thank you.
Hopefully, going to be covering the Tigers down there for us, perhaps. Yes, at some point, we're going to have to talk about what happened last night in Indiana. That involved the Memphis professional franchise, basketball franchise, the Memphis Grizzlies. I don't know if I'd call it a professional effort. 127-113, Grizzlies lose to an Indiana team that, yes, was fourth in the East, is fourth in the East, but they're the definition of mid as far as I'm concerned when you look at the overall advanced NBA ratings, 16th in the league, and you got playing your own game, really got outplayed by an Indiana team that frankly, he's not going to do anything in the playoffs, but I would not call them an elite team. Good thing for the Grizzlies, so they can get that, put that behind them, hopefully, with a win tonight against the Orlando Magic. They'll be back out on the road and right back at it tonight against the Magic. Hopefully, Ja Morant will be better. Just 12 points on 4 of 15 shooting last night. That did not look good. Canada got the win in the Four Nations. I'm sure at some point we'll be breaking that all down. Be a short breakdown. Congrats to Canada, though. We won't go to the lengths of playing their national anthem on our show. That's already been handled by Jeff Calkins. And then, and especially with my college basketball experts sitting here, and we'll talk some Memphis FAU. That's a big one, obviously, for Memphis on Sunday and the fact that you can't lose it. Slick big one, Michigan State and Michigan tonight. A slick big one in the Big Ten. And normally I wouldn't bring these things up, but we do have a national college basketball expert on. Michigan State, Michigan, that's a pretty good one tonight in the Big Ten. No?
It is, no
question.
On a
Friday night.
Yeah. And
14 and 12 teams in the country, number 14, number 12.
You know, when you think about Michigan and Michigan State, can you hear me, by the way?
I hear you great.
I just
Was there ever any issue?
I can't hear anything.
I just lengthened my monologue a little bit.
And I appreciate you doing that.
It's natural for me.
Michigan and Michigan State, rivals, right?
Of course.
But same state. So what I think we need to do is we need to do this show sitting next to each other. I think I need, like Michigan and Michigan State, I need to come over. That's what Brad said. I'm going to come over there and I'm going to sit next to you. Now, I don't think that one works either, but I'm going to come over there. I'm going to sit next to you and we're going to do this show like brothers, damn it.
We cannot. That's like sitting at the piano together.
Yeah.
That's going to look real stupid.
No, it's not.
And it's going to make me uncomfortable. I'm not sure I can still be.
It's what the number one program director said. All right.
No, we're gonna get this worked out. I don't even know if our listeners knew if we had any issue.
Jeffrey's the man.
Whatsoever. We're gonna get this worked out with you not being by my side, you being across.
Take me to the king.
I can hear you. Any issues? We can hear.
Well,
you.
Yeah, you can hear. I just can't hear. I won't be able to hear our guests.
Well, just talk to me.
Well, thankfully Anthony Sain is in studio.
Yes.
So I'm happy to do. I'll do a show. I've got two kids. Clearly, I'll do anything raw. You know what I mean? So I don't even need headphones to do the show. You know what I mean?
Okay, Cat Williams. You come in here lewd today, ain't you?
It's Friday. But anyway, yes, big show today. Michigan State is a good one tonight.
Thought so.
Definitely will be tuned into that one. You got the spread in front of you.
Two and a half. Michigan's favored by 2.5.
It's 3 some places. Now, Michigan's a weird team because they have won 7 of 8 by 4 points or fewer. They've been living on the right side of that close game variance.
I know here in Memphis we should be rooting for a Michigan State win, right?
That's
we'll
right.
We'll get a half-point bump at the net, perhaps?
That's right.
If you can get a Michigan State win tonight?
Exactly right. So, anyway, that's going on tonight. Memphis, of course, doesn't play until Sunday.
Yeah.
So, it's been a long, extended break for them.
Feels like a desert.
And so, again, I'm going to come over there and do this show next to you, and we'll continue to – I'm gonna look at you in the eye. I mean, I want us to really make eye contact when we do the show together.
You can't do that if we're sitting at the piano
It's going to be...
Stay right. There's nobody that you need to hear other than me, and you can hear me without headphones.
That's a good point. Anyway,
and maybe we can work some magic with Parth, and things will be just fine.
I like it.
Yeah, exactly.
So can you do sign language
just
to let me know
down.
What he says?
Sure.
You know, that way I can kind of respond from there. Big show today, yes, indeed. Anthony Sang going to join us in studio. So we'll talk to him about the Grizzlies.
Need him right now.
Yes, we need.
Need his diagnosis.
That's right.
Make sure am I on the right side or the wrong side here?
The Grizzlies got that Wembanyama deep vein thrombosis going on right now as a team, man.
See, you want to play. That's that man's career.
Nah, he's going to be all right, bro. He's going to be straight.
You know what, though? Watched some Court of Gold last night.
There we go.
And Wimby's, of course.
He's in it.
And that's what you were telling me. It's not just. It's everybody. All the contenders.
Serbia, France.
Behind the scenes, Serbia, France, also Canada to go with the U.S.
Yep.
And you're behind the scenes with all of them.
Yes.
And so we got some behind the scenes with Wimby, John's man. I feel bad for him.
Yep.
So I don't want to joke about it.
Yep. That is the show today. Anthony Sane, 1125, part of the Podyai. 125.
How much of that have you seen, by the way, real
quick,
just to satisfy
just the first, like, 30 minutes of the
I wondered
episode.
How far you had gone.
Yeah, I want to, I'll finish it this weekend.
Okay, yeah. We played the Barack clip with Anthony Edwards
correct.
From it.
Yes.
The KD clip that you played was from that.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
I've gotten through that.
It's just
and you know what? I have a new take on that after watching. I'm glad
it.
I did.
Love it. Love it. So anyway, that's the show today. All right. I started a new Twitter account last night. It's my first time I've ever had a burner before.
You did what?
Yeah. Yep. Did the Grizzlies beat a good team tonight? That's the Twitter account, okay? And the answer for most of the season has been no. And the answer last night was no. As they go
is
on
that
the,
what we'll get on every night from it?
It's gotten to that point in the season where it's like this is now a thing. That
sounds like a great follow.
Yes.
Put a yes or no.
But there's
night.
Not much suspense. It's just always going to be no. I mean, it's unfortunately, you know, never going to be yes. I won't say never, but it's not going to be
again,
yes as much as it needs to be.
Y'all keep qualifying Indiana as a good team. But
well,
go,
they
but
are
go
good
right
enough.
Ahead. Go
they
right
are,
ahead.
They are not the Spurs. How about that? I mean, they're fourth in the East. Bennett astutely pointed out last night that they are fourth in the East. You know, there's no reason to
it's just another loss to a good team.
That's right.
Nothing to be concerned about.
Well, I see where your head's at, and that's an interesting...
Let's stop with this, right?
That's
not dependent on Bennett, our man.
No. But you're taking issue with the fact that I'm classifying Indiana as a good team.
No, well, and it was part of that, and it's in, like, the vibe on some of Jeff's calls. You know how religiously I listen to all of Jeff's show. He took calls, and surprisingly, 3 of them were of the, everything's okay. We're good variety that, and it just seemed to be, hey, let's chalk this up to we weren't right coming out of the All-Star break, lost to another good team. We'll be fine. 27 left. Everything's fine.
Right.
I was surprised by that because when I'm watching Ja Morant last night, everything doesn't look fine. When I'm hearing that Taylor Jenkins is saying, John, don't quit to the team.
Mm.
Jeff was talking about Fish reporting that last night. And so don't quit. We're just coming out of the All-Star break.
Right.
This team's as healthy as ever.
3 years.
Right?
Yes.
And you're 16-4 against the East.
16-4 against the East.
This is a mid-Indiana team because it's 16th in net rating.
Okay.
You're fourth.
Yeah.
You're supposed to smash them.
Supposed to smash. You were favored.
And that's how the game started.
You were
by the way,
33-28.
I mean, you absolutely, you came out of the gate smoking.
That's
and
right.
It looked like what I thought it was going to be. All right, let's go. Next 28, this team's ready for business. And it just, after that initial start, once Indiana started hitting those, you know, threes, goes on its run, it just, you made that run there to cut it to single digits late, but it was never the same. As you pointed out in our group text, you had dug too deep a hole at that point.
Yep.
You know, and so this was not a team where this is acceptable to me.
Right.
And that makes this even more concerning because this is one of the mid-teams that you've been beating up on for the most part, and you've done that against the East. Remember, two of those previous four losses before last night against the East were to Brooklyn. Back early in the season, before you even write, you didn't have your team out there. You know, you dominated the East. You've beat better teams in the East than Indiana. So I'm going to need – if you ain't going to do it, I'm going to need Sane to come in here and calm me down. And I doubt he's going to be in a place where he feels like defending this team right now. That effort was indefensible.
Dude, I'm not – that's not what I can do.
If Taylor Jenkins is saying don't quit, something's off.
Right. Right. Agreed. Period. And, I mean, this is like – this is supposed to be the best spot ever, right? I mean, it's supposed to be – I know it's on the road, but you've had the entire week off. You're healthier than you've ever been.
You were favoring the game.
You know,
this wasn't some mountain of a team you're trying to beat.
You had lost two
or
three.
They were clobbering you at one. No, you've lost three of four.
Well, I'm saying going into the game, you
lost. Oh, you're going into the game. And here's the issue. The three of the four losses, all by double digits, 13 or more.
Yes, bro.
So we've seen some, let's be real, some laying down and some stretches.
Yep.
You know, whether it's complaining about calls.
Knicks, Oklahoma City last night.
Whatever else it is, yeah. I mean, it's gotten to a point where, no, you're supposed to be past this because you set a trade deadline, this is our team, right? And I realize you're still trying to work in Vince and Gigi. Nobody's asking this to be a perfect, but you should not be getting run off the floor at Indiana.
I mean,
period.
Well, yeah.
That to me is, you know, this is more concerning than the characteristic losing to the other top six teams
Fair.
In the West.
Fair.
Because this is not a team that should be on your level. The metrics say they aren't. Defensively, they're awful. And yet, second quarter, you were the team giving up 50 points. You know, you're supposed to be the seventh best defense in the league. Mm. That's about effort. Taylor Jenkins is now, it sounds like, pleading for effort.
Begging.
That's not a good sign.
Yeah, man.
You know, when we're talking about it, if your message is being heard.
Yeah, listen, I mean, we talked about this on the Monday that they lost to the Thunder. My perception of this team was at an all-time low, and it just continues to be low. I mean, they have not done anything, you know, that's made me revisit that, you know, opinion about them. Like, they're not the 2 seed anymore. They're now the 3 seed officially. They're going to continue to slide because they have the Magic on the road tonight. Then they have the Cavs on the road. They have the fourth toughest schedule, as you said, you know, the rest of the way.
Yeah.
They're going to end up being in that 4-5 game almost certainly. And they're going to be real, you know, really susceptible to that first round exit. I mean, they didn't do anything at the trade deadline, you know? I mean, like, this is what they are.
There's a way out.
I mean, yes.
And it's
there is. There's one obvious answer.
It's an elephant in the room.
Yeah.
We would feel a lot better about this 3 out of 4 if Ja Morant had been himself and playing, you know, didn't have more turnovers last night than he did shots made. I think that's why there's a little bit more of a level of urgency here with me and John than maybe in some other places.
And again, this has been playing out
and you realize
over the course of a season.
It does seem like things are stacking up. I mean, you do have to talk about the nuts and bolts of the situation. His name becomes public yesterday on the burglary. And that and obviously becomes, we knew it would, national news. Once it's Ja Morant that's in there with Patrick Mahomes and Kelce and everything else, we found out that was hid. Daily Memphian, again, great job by them, Jody Callahan, to confirm it. But the point is it goes public. And so now Ja knows, everybody knows. Right, it's on top of the burglary. You've already got the deal where you're dealing with a hip injury early this year, a shoulder injury. You're playing the fewest minutes of your career, and yet you're averaging the most turnovers. This is a new offense that, yeah, sure, on paper looks good. It's worked great for Jaren Jackson, but for you it hasn't produced great numbers individually. It's produced, let's be real, some career low numbers. In some cases, career high with turnovers. So we can understand having sort of a cloud of things right now that could be distracting you. Last night, clearly, the referees, again, were bothering Ja. But what have we said the entire time, John, while this has been happening? You got to snap out of it.
Yep.
You control what you can, which is your effort, and unfortunately, it's not consistent enough right now. And I think that's the issue for a team that when your leader doesn't seem right now completely plugged in. Y'all can figure out what the issue is. It's up to Taylor Jenkins, Ja Morant, get it ultimately, not us.
Yep.
That makes this more troubling.
I agree with that.
That makes this start to look like a first-round exit.
Yep.
Where it won't be, again, Ja Morant's head that's rolling.
Yep.
That, remember, you're kind of stuck on your contracts, everything else. We know you're going to have, but your roster's set. You ain't bringing in another 3-4 draft picks. This is it. So you got to get your leader right.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be the thing. But, you know, I'm wondering if that's possible.
What's weird is he was saying all the right things after the game.
Yeah.
Saying, I know I got to be, you know, I got to do this.
Yeah.
But you don't see, and John, I don't know if it's if joy is still the word or whatever else. You know, remember his dad was getting thrown out of a game a little while ago. I can understand. Got a lot going on. Feel like you're not getting the call that SGA is getting. Well, bro, SGA's passed you. You got to go earn that back.
Yep.
So at some point, you got to come to terms with that. Again, Taylor Jenkins got a role in this. He's got to get him going because it's going to be, again, it's going to be you who's gone if this doesn't get worked. If you're gone after a first round, I mean, I think we're all predicting that, especially if it goes.
No doubt.
If it looks a first round playoff exit like this. This stretch of regular season has.
Yeah, I mean, he's.
Or you know, against these better teams, what is it, 3-10 against the top six in the West?
Mm-hmm.
The other top six teams.
Yep.
If it looks like that first round, Taylor gone. Friend time is over.
It is.
If he needs a kick in the butt at this point, that's what you got to do.
Yeah, Ja's averaging a career low in minutes. He's averaging a career low in field goal percentage.
Look at career low in minutes and then look at the turnovers. It's a career high.
Yep.
So, again, I can understand when Ja looks at his numbers right now and he sees the rest of the league and the All-Star stuff happening, SGA's elevating everything else. Look at quarter goal right now. That's a reminder you weren't on the Olympic team.
Mm-hmm.
You can understand the guy being, you know, a little down.
Yeah.
But fighters fight through that stuff.
Yes, they do.
And they go earn it back. That's his DNA, right?
Yes.
And so it is troubling that we're not sort of seeing that fight back that you got 100% of the time.
Yep.
When Ja's fully plugged in.
No, so, you're right.
Yeah, whatever it is, they got to get it worked out.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's possible.
He was passing
I don't...
up shots last night in that first half. We saw some aggressiveness later, but this ain't he ain't right.
No, he's not. No, you're exactly right.
So you're not going to get right as a team to bottom line it.
Yep.
If he's not right.
Yeah, until and unless. So
it's the elephant in the room.
12-6 last night, man. I mean, he clearly doesn't like the offense. He's clearly not on board with the offense. And it's like, you know, at this point, you're not going to change it.
It's
in the
tough.
Of the season.
Right, you're not going to change it because it's producing a great season for Jaren.
It is.
You know, on paper, it looks good. It's, what, top five in the league?
But Jaren's not.
So do you, you know, but again, this is your leader who's
right.
not right.
That's
so
right.
That's where we go back to what we've been saying. You got to reel it in a little bit. You got to find the adjustments. You got to get Edie out there, setting him some screens, get him happy. You know, not enough of that is happening on a consistent basis, it feels like. Lord knows, Ja's used to them Steven Adams-like screens. That's when he's at his best.
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting enough of that.
So
whatever you got to do as a team, as a coach, and then what Ja knows what he's got to do as a player, he was saying that after the game.
Yep.
We just got to see it.
We got to see it. All right, we'll come back. Anthony Sain's going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about this, get his thoughts on, you know, how real is the concern for the Grizzlies right now, given their stretch and their schedule left. We'll get into all that with him on the other side. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Anthony Sain is the host of the Anthony Sain Show on Bluff City Media, with new episodes airing every Wednesday and Friday. Make sure you are checking them out. The underground king of Memphis sports media, the tribal chief of Grizz Twitter, independent journalist and founder of Asylum Media Group, father of five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect Gabriel Sain. Follow Sain on X at Sain Asylum. He joins us now like he does every Friday around this time. We're grateful for it. Sain, man, talk me off the ledge. I don't know if you were listening, pulling up.
Yeah, I would.
I'm more than concerned at this point. I know Jeff had some calls, and I'm only bringing it up because I was actually surprised by there were three calls that said, you know what, everything's fine. But it's 3 out of 4 now that you've lost. Going back to that OKC loss, and all three of those were by double digits.
Three callers, by the way, blind.
Blind, they according were, they, to John. One of them actually said they could see the sky, and it was clear. It wasn't falling, so maybe they were lying. Maybe it was a Stevie Wonder type deal where they were lying. How concerned should we be? How concerned are you after the loss to Indiana last night?
Everything is fine depending on how you look at it, depending on what your expectations are, what your goals are for the season. I mean, I can understand and empathize with either side of it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're, like, saying – I think we should be a team that competes for the championship or can win the championship this year. That's probably not happening. Like, for what we see, I don't really see a path for how that happens unless, you know, it gets a lot of injury luck. You know what I mean? So, or unluckiness for other teams. That's the only path I can really see us winning the championship, so to speak. But if your expectation is just be a top team in the league, I mean, that's who we are regardless. I think we'll still finish, you know, one of the top teams in the NBA, a competitive team, probably top four in the West, all those type of things. I mean, it is fine. If you're looking down the line, looking down to the future, whatever, definitely a good place. You have three stars that are, you know, 25 or younger. You got good guys behind them coming up, you know, the GGs, the Vinces, the Edies, those type of guys, you know, that next wave of guys. So, I mean, as far as the future and everything, you're good. But if you got a one season expectation for this team, yeah, I think you can pretty much say that it doesn't look good based on what you're seeing. Things about basketball that are simple as hell, bro. Mm-hmm. When you played against the New York Knicks, we were constantly subbing guys in and out, and they were playing their five. Their five played almost
the
entire first quarter.
That's the exact game I was thinking about when you were talking about us pulling our guys
off. Old school basketball, bro. Yep. I'm going to put my best against your best. If you don't want to put your best out there, my best is going to be out there. If y'all want to be cute and play 10 guys in 5 minutes, go ahead, but I'm about to run you to the ground with my dogs. And that's what every team in the NBA pretty much does. It. Like, they're gonna play their guys a lot. They may play the same 10 guys you play, but those 6 through 10 aren't playing 20-something minutes a game, 30 minutes like some of our guys
are. They're trying to play everybody still.
And it's, like I said, I don't mind the amount of guys, but you gotta play your dudes against their dudes and have long stretches of play where it's the same guys on the court. That's why you have defensive lapses, because you've got new dudes. You're communicating with a new guy every 30 seconds of basketball time. It's all these different guys out there. Mm-hmm. And that's just simple basketball, bro. Like, you can't circumvent that. You just can't, like, eliminate continuity and just plug these guys in like they're robots. Like, guys like playing long stretches of time with the same guys on the court because you can get a chemistry. Like, in
what I'm saying,
not just throughout the season, but in those moments of time in basketball,
right,
that continuity matters. And I think they've totally – acting like it doesn't. And something that people say all the time is this. And like I said, this offense is fine. Like, it generates a lot of points. It gets guys going easier.
Top five on paper.
Yeah, all those type of things. But there are a couple of myths that people just kind of throw out. Like, and I hear this all the time. I hear you guys say it too, and I'm gonna throw this back at you. Like, people say things like, well, the offense is hurting Ja, but it's helping Jaren and it's helping Dez. Jaren Jackson Jr., his style of play, we're working any offense where you're giving him the ball and saying, go score. any offense where you're saying Jaren Jackson Jr. to isolate and score, it's going to help him regardless of whatever else is happening on the court, whether guys are using screens or
yeah, he had a good year last year in a different offense.
Right, because he's 7 foot tall.
To your point.
He has this ridiculous floater that he pulls out of anywhere and can make it.
You can't guard it. It's left-handed.
And the NBA even says that the shots that Jaren Jackson takes are top 10 worst quality shots in the NBA. Like, the fact that he hits those shots, they don't even add up. The percentage he's hitting them and the difficulty of the shots. Like, I saw a stat on Twitter saying the shots that he takes is one of the top 10 most difficult shots that he's making. Jaren would be scoring like this in any offense that allows him to score in ISO.
That's fair.
Desmond Bane is a guy, same thing. He can dribble, pass, and shoot at a high level. Any offense that allows him to create off the dribble, he'll be fine.
Yeah, I haven't used him as much, but I had been one of the ones that said, well, Jaren seems to be benefiting.
But the fact that is that it really strips away a lot of the things that were cheat code things that Ja could use to kind of spam points. A lot of those things just aren't there anymore. But he's got to figure that out, bro. Like, sitting around with your head down, arguing with referees, pouting, being on Twitter for a couple of days, then getting off of Twitter, and then getting right back. Like, all that stuff is just silly, man. Like, at the end of the day, man, you have to go play basketball. You have to be accountable for you, and you have to be the best player on this team. I talked about this on my show a couple of weeks ago. Go check it out, the Anthony Sane Show on YouTube. And, man, y'all know I am a Jaren Jackson Jr. super fan. I love Jaren Jackson Jr., like my favorite player in the league, like for real. I love Jaren Jackson Jr. But I don't want Jaren Jackson Jr. to be the best player on this team. Like, I'm not okay saying that. Like, if this team is going to be good, like, really good, Ja Morant has to be the best player on this team. Like, Jaren's just not built to be a guy that can lead a team to a championship. Like, we've seen Ja Morant come on this team, and they're instantly playoff contenders his rookie year. Like, in the beginning of a rebuild, they were playoff contenders. They were in the play-in. If it wasn't for COVID, they probably would have made the playoffs. And that was Ja Morant just being a guy who's just instantly box office, instantly impact player, instantly a transcendent player, almost, so to speak. I need Ja to do whatever it takes to be the best player on this team.
I'm with that. Jaren doesn't make anybody better.
Yeah,
Ja Morant makes everybody better.
The 19, 20 points a game, whatever it is Ja's doing, that's good on like regular standards. But I need Ja to be a guy who's a 20-something, 30-something point per game guy. And we've seen him do that. Like, we've seen him have a MVP conversation level season. So I'm not ready to reduce Ja to being number two in this team. He has to be our best player. He's got to get going. I don't really have a solution to it. I don't even know what the problem is. I heard conversations today about, is it something physical? Is it the injuries? Probably is.
Could be, I mean? Hip, shoulder, is feeling it, like an old man.
Right. Is it feeling vulnerable after having your home violated and broken into a
I'm
couple
sure.
months ago? Could be. You know what I mean? Could it be he's a co-parent? As a co-parent, we stress about weird stuff, bro. You know what I mean? Like, could it be that? You know what I mean? Could it be some relationship stuff he's got going on? I don't know.
Everybody in the league got
could
issues.
It be that he don't have anybody on the coaching staff that he rocks with?
It could be that. It could be a situation where the team doesn't allow. Here's another thing too, bro. If you were talking about support systems, Ja Morant lives in the city in an organization that has Zach Randolph in it, Tony Allen is in it, Brevin Knight is in it, Elliot Perry is in it, Derrick Rose is in it. All these dudes live in the city, right? Like, these, like, basketball greats, wise guys, like, super smart, intelligent guys.
Did you say 1 cent? He's here, too.
Penny Hardaway is in the city, right?
That's crazy.
Right.
That's crazy you omitted it, Penny.
Right, exactly. I'm tripping.
Listen, you have the hoodie, on. That's why I was reminded of it.
No phones on today, but I do got 1 cent. But I was talking about guys that are kind of connected to that organization.
For sure.
But you got freaking Penny Hardaway in the city.
Yeah.
You've lost your mind if you don't think all six of those dudes have not tried to reach out to Ja Morant. Tried to establish some level of relationship.
And it's not up to them to reach out at this point. Like,
right.
Yeah, I'm with you on this.
So whatever he's going through, man, he's got the support system. He's got the guys. He's got, like, some stand-up
dudes. You got a city
dudes,
behind bro. You that
And you got
to,
diversity. Yeah. You got, like, street dudes like Z-Bo and Tony who, like, man, get out of all that ignorant stuff. You got guys like super smooth, suave dudes, BK, Elliot Perry.
That's
you got
point.
NBA greats, Derrick Rose, and Penny Hardaway.
All walks.
You got three different categories of dudes you can get with, man. You got the businessman, gentleman, all these type of dudes, married guys, family men, all these type of things.
Well, and you got a pro's pro. We know Justin
right.
Mike representing you, too.
Right.
You know what I'm
right.
saying?
Exactly.
Your own
yeah.
agent.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean,
your agent.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, if those guys are available, is it an issue if he doesn't want the help? Is it an issue of they're not allowing him to get that help? When I say they, I mean the Grizzlies organization.
Right.
Or his circle, his team, or whatever they're doing. But, like, I don't – that there's plenty of guys that can help Ja Morant out in those type of situations.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to do what he has to do, man. Like, the excuses have to end. The calling has to end.
Could not agree more.
I'm not – I don't care about Ja deactivating his Twitter because I'm like – he'll
me
be,
either.
Like, all those stupid conversations, man, he's an adult. He's going to have to deal with things on his own. And the thing is, man, if you're gonna
you can always
it,
go find negativity. That's
yeah,
what it's
sure.
always gonna be there. So if you're looking for it, bro, it's gonna be there all the time. You're gonna have to get past it or not look for it at all.
Yeah, man. It's he's got to be that dude, bro. I don't know what's going on with him. I hope he can snap out of it. You know, we're just and as a fan base, we just get so pulled here and there about what this player said and this guy said move the team to Memphis and this guy said. The Grizzlies might trade Ja, and now we, like, man, all that is stupid, bro. Like, all that, you know, Jimmy Butler said this, and Bob Myers said, KD said, like, it's, how, man, all that
me,
stuff is done, bro.
Let me ask you a question to that, too. Mm-hmm. How much of this is it should be a head coach's responsibility? If you brought in another head coach, could he help here, or is this just a deal where
yes.
it's all on Ja?
Yes.
Or does a different type of coach with
coaching
a different type
a
of
big
approach?
Part of, plays, coaching plays a big part of I had this conversation with somebody. I'm not going to say who said it, and I hope he's not offended by me sharing this conversation, some of what we talked about. And they asked me the question. They said when Z-Bo, Tony Allen, Mark, and Mike were here, who was the leader of that team? I said, Z-Bo, right?
That'd be my. That's
it,
what I
like said. Everybody say Zebo. He's like, man, I'm here to tell you, it wasn't. It eventually got to be, but when that team first got together, with all those vets on that team, Lionel Hollins was the leader of that team because he had to be, because those guys weren't ready for what he was, he saw.
Yeah,
and he was the clear leader of that team. He was the big dog. He was the voice. He was the barker.
Had to put it together because Zebo had his history and everything else.
Right,
he had to make that.
It eventually got to the point where the guys could take over. But when that team first got here, and I said, man, you absolutely right.
He is.
When that team first got here, there wasn't no leader. That team was led by the bench.
Well said.
And we talk so much about, oh, go get a vet. Go get this. You got the talent. You got the dudes, man. Mm. That leadership needs to start coming from that bench, though. Because there's no, like I said, Taylor Jenkins is an amazing guy as far as.
Right, you talk about how smart he is.
As far as, like, you know, some of the tactical stuff he does, cool, all of that. But at the end of the day, man, you look like a babysitter. You look like a guy that team is outgrown. Like they need another type of voice to come
like
in.
Like they're not hearing the voice.
Right.
Anymore.
It's kind of like
concern.
When I'm a little kid, it's okay that my babysitter is 13, you know what I mean, 14. But once I get to be, if you're 13 and I'm 8, okay, cool, I can accept you being my babysitter. But once I'm 16 and you're 21, dude, I don't want you to be my mentor. You're 21 years old.
Right.
Like, you, man, you like the same girls. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. Get away from me. You know what I mean? Like, that's. That's kind of what we're seeing with Taylor Jenkins, bro. Like, he was the cool babysitter, but now he looks kind of weird dealing with these bigger kids.
Or was apparently pleading with him, don't quit.
Yeah, don't quit. Why is that even a conversation, bro?
To me, that's the beginning of the end there.
And I have people who say, I have people who think if we fan out in the playoffs or whatever, then no heat will be on him. Like, man, y'all are crazy. Like, how do you
Max
figure
heat.
It? Yeah, we literally just fired his whole
just changed the whole coaching staff. Yeah. He's the one next.
He'll be gone.
That's how that works.
Taylor Jenkins will be gone if they lose the first round. Like, there's no. I mean, we don't have to. I mean, this is the NBA.
And if that happens, which I think is the most likely path to happen, if they don't do well in the playoffs, you're talking about trading. The rumors about trading Ja, that's nonsense. But we're getting rid of Taylor Jenkins would be a real conversation.
Yeah.
And if that happens, the question is this front office ready to take the training wheels off and get a coach that may not be particularly somebody that's going to walk, lock, and step with them? Are they ready to go get a coach who can have his own mind and do things the way he does it?
Well,
and then have to sign off.
I think you bring up a good point, because a guy that would be able to get through to Ja is not
the type of guy.
Right.
He ain't waiting for Zach Kleiman to tell him what to do.
Nope.
Right? He ain't waiting to get a group email to say.
They're going to have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable with that.
Because
I think that, you know, they're used to, hey, there's a chain of command here. It's collaborative. It's, you know.
Yeah, they call each other partners.
Right. Like, you got to understand, like, it's probably time, that if this is the way we think it goes like this, to empower the next dude, let him be himself.
Let him be that dude.
And, like, you know, let the chips fall where they may. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they need somebody who will say, get the hell out of my gym. Like, for real. Like, if they're in practice, they need the guy who's going to say, oh, y'all with suits on, get out.
That's right. I mean, look, that doesn't mean hire somebody that's going to completely disregard, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not going to be a deal where.
There's got to be a balance.
Hey, here's a mandate from the top. Do this. Like, you're, I mean, not an expect to, you know, breakthrough with Jai.
Yeah. What did you think of Kleiman's quote about that this part's fantasy, but then went into sort of, we're going to prove it to you.
It was.
If you doubt us, and then you have an effort like last night.
This is a wrestling city, bro. That was a wrestling promo. Like, that was just something to hype up the fan base. Like, that wasn't Zach.
There's no in-house value in that in saying it for Ja, who might be listening to
some
of that mess
because
Howard Beck said it.
It's a promo. It's a promo.
I got you.
You know what I mean?
So even for you.
Because, like, I was talking about this in my show, too. Guys like Drew, guys like DeMichael Cole, they're very good at what they do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, they have connections. Like, they have Zach Kleiman's phone. They talk. And they probably talk to Zach Kleiman often. Like, I don't think the last time we heard something quoted from Zach Kleiman was the last time that Drew Hill or DeMichael Cole spoke to Zach Kleiman. Like, they speak to these guys often, right? And if something like that got out, it's because Zach Kleiman was like, hey, put this out.
Oh, absolutely.
So that was a promo. Like, it was it was a wrestler. He cut a promo, and it hyped the fan base up. I'm sure Ja heard it as well, and it was, you know, it did what it did. It was kind of unnecessary because, like, why even feed into some, you know.
Well, just because Howard Beck says it's a league exec that said it. So, I mean, when he adds an air of credibility
I'm not saying that it didn't happen. I'm not saying that some GM didn't say, hey, look out for Memphis.
Right. But you're saying, who cares?
What does that mean? Like,
we're still doing our thing. Who cares that another GM's talking about
it? It's just like people are saying, look out for Giannis, like with Milwaukee, right? Does that mean that he's going to ax out? I mean, they're conflicting reports. They're reports saying that Giannis is like, no, I'm not going nowhere.
Yeah, but they don't do it to the big market stars.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say that. They do seem to single us out, you know.
Because does that Lakers situation look like it's going to be all peaches and cream in 2 years? Like
Get past LeBron and start and have some assets to put around Luka, I mean, it might be 5 years from now, but they had to do this.
Yeah,
to move
exactly.
On.
Like, they don't, you know, it's that you don't get that in the major markets like you get it here, for sure. But yeah, man, like I said, I don't really know what the solution is. Yeah. I see a lot of problems. There are a lot of problems with this team. But you can also look at it and be like, we're still a good team. Like, I'd rather be us than be Washington, or us than not have a team in the league at all. Like, we're one of the better teams in the league. Like, that's undeniable. So I don't really get upset with people who say everything is all good. I mean, you know, it's one of the person can be like, hey, man, we're second in the West, or we're third in the West now. We could be in fourth Monday. Like, that could happen. Like, if they just go the way – if things keep looking the way they've been looking the last couple games, you know, you got who we got tonight? Oh, you got Orlando tonight. It's a good team.
Cleveland's in here.
You got Cleveland.
Grizz are -3.5 tonight.
Yeah, by this time next week, man, we could be in fourth
Knicks
place.
To end the month.
Yeah, it can get ugly, bro. Like, it can get ugly because you're playing a lot of teams now that we haven't played yet, so it can get ugly for sure.
Knicks going to play 5 dudes. You're going to play 13.
We're going to play 13. Going to be losing by 30.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, all it takes, though.
Well-rested. Ass whooping.
I will say, all it would take, though, would be winning at Cleveland to make people feel good again. It feels,
we're a good team. We're good enough to go out there and beat them. For sure.
It feels far away right now because of the stretch they're in.
Yeah.
But if they do that, which is a big if.
Need a lead job.
You know, and maybe that's the game we get it, right? Mm-hmm. Against Garland, who said that the Grizzlies should
get
move
this
to Nashville.
Get this team out of Memphis. That's what Garland said.
Yeah, I mean.
Man, why do we get so riled up by stuff like that, bro? It has always been like.
Yeah, and he's from Nashville.
He's from Nashville. Like, why do we care?
I didn't allow
people riled up about
my skin.
Like he's not somewhere in a voting box where people are saying, Darius Garland, what do you think about the Memphis situation? We about to decide if we're about to move them or not. Vote yes or no right now. Like, nobody cares. Like, who cares, bro?
I mean, Darius Garland's like an all-star, and, like, most people would not have any idea who he is.
Right. Like, nobody cares, like, with any – like, he has no bearing on whether the Grizzlies leave Memphis or not. Like, who cares, bro? Like, it's we just get so fired up about the silliest stuff, bro.
Oh, Jaren's going to possibly –
oh, yeah, Jaren about to get paid.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Wimby thing – the Wimby thing's awful for him, and we're hoping he's all good. But for Jaren, that was incredible news yesterday about Wimby.
I was sitting down over the weekend, not hating on the man, but just trying to see, is there a path – where Jaren didn't make All-NBA team.
All-NBA.
So I was just kind of doing
my math.
That's
what we thought it was going to have to be because DPOY was sold up.
I said, I could kind of see a path where Jaren don't make it. You know, I could kind of see a path, you know, whatever. But no, he's clearly going to be defensive player of the year down there. Yeah, and
it's got to beat out Mobley, right? That's the real one. Yeah. Doesn't look like any of the other guards were high enough.
Jaren's about to be the highest paid player in NBA history this summer. Just because of
I'm still struggling to get my head wrapped around.
Just because of how it is,
it's his turn. I know, like a quarterback up in the NFL.
Yeah, and that'll last, you know, for a year. I think SGA is up next year, right?
Is that right?
Yeah. And I think he's already qualified for the Supermax, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, Jaren's about for a little bit. Jaren's gonna be the highest paid player in the league. Hey, shout out to SGA for not hiring an agent too, for firing his agent and saying no.
Yeah, he said he's doing it the rest of the way.
I'm about to get a Supermax, bro. What I need you for? Like, I'm not gonna give you $40 million just for being around me.
I mean, the only argument would be for his endorsement piece.
He just signed a shoe deal though.
But yeah, I mean, if he's got all that already, then
he got his shoe deal. He's about to get the Supermax. Why am I paying some dude 10% of?
And honestly,
everything
I don't think he's the guy that wants to do a bunch of marketing anyway.
He's not very marketable anyway. He's wearing prison braids, bro. He's not super anyway,
well,
man.
Well, we tried with the whole T-Mobile commercial. What was it? What a Pro Wants? That was Jason's favorite.
Yeah.
And it was brutal. It was a brutal showing, no question about that. All right, real quick, thoughts on Wimby's it's really a condition.
That's sad, bro. Yeah.
Less
sad.
An injury
that's
than
scary,
it is a condition.
Bro.
Yeah.
That's scary. That's like career ending, life ending type stuff, man. That's super, 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 super scary.
I thought this wasn't as serious as the Bosch one and some of the
other
ones.
People I heard, they're saying that this area is scarier.
Is
like
worse?
This shoulder area could be more dangerous than like the anything else. That's what I heard.
Wow.
My guy, Rusty Witten, we called him Dr. Buckets with Bluff City Media. He's a doctor in sports therapy and physical therapy. And he does videos breaking down, like, Grizzlies injuries, league injuries. About to start getting into some Tiger basketball injuries, too. But, like, he was like, yeah, like, that shoulder thing, blood clots in your shoulder is more dangerous than the leg stuff. Like, that's the way he broke it down.
Mm.
But, yeah, man, that's scary, bro. Like, that just
really
shows
is.
You, man, this stuff can be, like, here today, gone tomorrow, man. Ain't none of this stuff we talk about promise at all.
Windhorst said that the Spurs were jolted by that diagnosis. Like, they – you know, they're concerned, but also relieved that they caught the, you know, I guess it's a good excuse, you know, and a good reminder to people to get that physical, bro.
Yeah, man.
Every year, because you don't know. I mean, I'm sure Wimby had, he did the reports where he had lower energy. He could feel that he had lower energy throughout the week.
Man.
But, just, I mean, that's it.
That's so scary, bro. Like, what a dude had it like, I don't even want to talk like that. But, no, but anyway, that's scary, bro. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, he is Anthony Sane. Catch him on the Anthony Sane show. Joins us every single Friday here on the show. We'll come back. We're not wrapping it up. We're going to the rundown. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to find me ESPN.